we thank God for our men's chorus for their music ministry. Just before I read this scripture lesson, let me say to all of our members, we are concerned that every member of our church gain access to a vaccination who wants to be vaccinated. And if you're having difficulty signing up to be vaccinated and you need some assistance or difficulty getting to a vaccination site, please call the church office and leave your name and number so that we can provide some assistance to you. We don't want any Ebenezer members or our family members to need a vaccine and not have access to it. Just want to say that to you. Please join me now for our scripture lesson from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 through verse 9 from the New International Version. This is a Lenten passage as we continue in this season of Lent, focusing upon our relationship with God. Ephesians 2, 4 through 9 from the New International Version. And the Bible says, "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast." The word of the Lord. God's stimulus plan. The word stimulus has been defined as something that incites to action or exertion or quickens action, feeling, or thought, an incentive. It is also defined as something that causes a response. Words that are closely related to stimulus are catalyst, impetus, impulse, or motivation. Our government has used the word stimulus to characterize its response to the economic impact of the COVID-19 pandemic. Congress has worked on various stimulus packages to impact the economy and to respond to the adverse results of the pandemic. Folk have lost jobs. People are dependent upon unemployment benefits. Businesses have lost revenue. And many businesses, even in Texas and in Austin, have closed permanently. People aren't able to take care of the basic necessities, shelter, food, health care. And even this recent storm that we had, this winter storm, exacerbated the situation. It brought more misery to families that were already struggling. Social and economic systems are straining to survive. Every arena of life has been impacted by COVID-19. Last week, Congress passed and the President signed into law one of the biggest economic stimulus bills, we are told, since the Great Depression. The bill covers, among many things, unemployment benefits, lower premiums for Obamacare, aid for businesses, $1,400 checks for many American households, investment in vaccine efforts, $1.9 trillion of proposed spending. Yuck. And you might say, okay, we need it. Yeah, but the money had to come from somewhere. I don't know where you fall on it. And of course, that's what we're told the bill covers. We're not privy to the fine print. The average American doesn't really know everything that is in the bill. Because of the stimulus package, the president has declared, help is here. And I pray that is the case. Congress is trying to help families and stimulate the economy. The checks impact spending, which impacts businesses, which impacts the economy. I hope that is the case. But the notion of a stimulus doesn't originate with Congress. The notion of providing a catalyst to initiate a response does not even originate with our particular time in history. In the book of Genesis in the Bible, the writer attempts to set before us the story of creation. And the writer begins with the words, in the beginning, God. And as the writer goes on to outline the unfolding of divine creation, we then hear the words, and God said. And I think that those words, and God said, constitute the originary stimulus plan or formula. That's what I call it, the original, originary stimulus formula. Those words, and God said, are the catalyst and impetus for creation. God said it, and creation occurred. It's one thing to stimulate the economy. It's another thing to stimulate creation. It's one thing to set in motion systems that are already in place. It's another thing to step out in nothing and plant your feet on nowhere and call worlds into existence. God has been in the stimulus business from the beginning. In our text, during this Lenten season, we want to look at this whole concept of redemption. And in this passage in Ephesians, the writer outlines God's stimulus plan for redemption. And the writer looks at three things. He looks at our need for redemption. And second, he looks at God's redemptive remedy. And third, he tells us about the results of God's redemptive activity. Let's look at this passage more closely, beginning with our need for redemption. And I didn't read verses 1-3 as a scripture lesson, but I want to read those verses right now, Ephesians 2:1-3, because they help us to understand the impetus for divine redemption. Listen to verses 1-3. The Bible says, as for you, you were dead in transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. So these verses 1-3, talk about our past. For humanity, for human beings, the past was awful. We were trapped like prisoners by sin and disobedience. Humanity was dead in trespasses and sins. We followed the course of this world. We followed the power of the air, the power present in those who are disobedient. We followed the passions of the flesh. We were by nature children of wrath. We were trapped. And this sin traps everybody. It doesn't just trap young people. A lot of folk want to harp on young people and what they're doing. You were young once, if you remember. Sin traps everybody. Of all ages, of all stripes, of all backgrounds. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And God says in the past we were trapped by sin and transgressions and we had no capacity to extricate ourselves. We needed salvation. We needed a deliverer to bring salvation. And sometimes, beloved, you can't get to the help you need. Sometimes the help you need has to come to you. And when we look at our past, the writer is saying, when we look at what we were, we see the need for redemption. And I know we can look at other folk all day long and see all of their faults and their shortcomings, but we've all got some faults and some shortcomings. You might not be stuck with what I'm stuck with, but you're stuck with something. We've all got something in our past, in our background that holds us and has a grip on us. You've got to learn, this isn't on my paper, just dropped in my spirit. You've got to learn to have compassion sometimes for people who are struggling with addiction. You don't know what they're going through. You don't know how they are feeling emotionally. You don't know whether they're about to give up on life. And the addiction sometimes has them in a grip, in a pit, and they cannot extricate themselves. And so the writer says we had a need for redemption. There was a need for it because of how pervasive and how powerful sin is in our lives. It's just like thinking about this need for the vaccine and the need for access to the vaccine. When we look at the numbers, more blacks and persons of color have died from COVID-19. But when it comes to vaccinations, more whites have been vaccinated than persons of color. What is the reason? The reason is social constructs have created medical and pharmacy deserts. Social constructs and systems have impacted access to vaccines. If you don't have internet access, if there are no pharmacies in your community, if you don't have transportation, if rural areas aren't getting sufficient vaccines, then you're in bad shape and you're just cut off. If there are extra vaccines available and you're not on the list, you need the ability to move quickly in order to be considered. The need for equity is great as it relates to this vaccine, as it relates to the care for persons suffering with COVID-19. And when we look at what we were, and the need for redemption was also great because we were lost in sin without help and without hope. But then the writer tells us about God's redemptive remedy. He says we were lost in sin and transgressions, but God had a remedy. In verses 4 through 6 and following, the Bible says, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Verse 7. In order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. What words? You ought to read these words over again at your leisure. But the words are powerful and packed with the story of God's redemptive solution or remedy. We know the human condition. We know what shape we were in. We know the need for redemption. We know that our condition becomes an impetus for a divine remedy. What's the stimulus for a divine remedy? The need of human beings. What is it that really motivates God to act? What is it about God that becomes the catalyst for redemption? After all, God made us. God doesn't need us. God can annihilate us. God can wipe us out and start all over again. God has already used the flood. You remember Noah and the flood? God has used a flood to show divine outrage at human sin. What is it that motivates God to action? Well, God's remedy, this text tells us, is rooted in three things. First, it is rooted in the greatness of God's love. God loves creation. The Bible says, for God, because of his great love for us. God loves humanity. And this love of God is steadfast love. It's enduring love. It's a persistent love. It's a love that never gives up. That's why we read in the responsive reading, but God commendeth, or God showeth, or God demonstrateth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That God is motivated by love. The love of God is powerful. And not only is the love of God powerful and rich, but the richness of God's mercy is the second basis for this redemptive plan. The richness of God's mercy. There's nothing that compares to the mercy of God. The Bible says in Lamentations, his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Mercy is the byproduct of divine love. Love brings out God's compassion and opens the door to the richness of God's mercy. Oh, I love the mercy of God. I know that God has an attribute called justice, where God stands for what is right and does what he thinks is right according to his will. But I also like the mercy of God, because sometimes I mess up and I fall short of God's glory. I don't need justice. I need mercy. And love gives us the mercy of God, the richness of God's mercy. And third, what is it that moves God to action? God's remedy, redemptive remedy, is rooted in his love, in his mercy. And that love and mercy fuel the gift of divine grace. Where does grace come from? It comes out of the love and the mercy of God. That's why the Bible says, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. We are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And this grace of God is extended to everybody. And it's not just grace for the day, today, or for the present. It's grace, it's eschatological grace. It's grace for the future. It's grace for my generation, and it's grace for generations yet to be born. It's the grace of God. We are saved by that grace. So love, mercy, and grace form the foundation of God's stimulus package. Now that's a remedy. That's a remedy if you ever needed a remedy in your life. Love, mercy, and grace. There are income limits for the $1,400 stimulus payments. I don't think that many folk are going to go to the mailbox or look in their bank accounts. They know they're above the limit. And of course, that's as it should be. There are limits to the unemployment payments. They're extended, but there's a limit to it. And of course, there should be limits to it. In other words, there are stipulations to the stimulus package. There are some strings attached to the stimulus package. It looks free. It looks good. But there's always the fine print. You better read the fine print. But I tell you, God's got a stimulus package that comes with no strings attached. There are no works that you have to perform. There are no services that have to be performed, because Jesus paid it all. He's already paid for the stimulus package of God Almighty. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I like God's stimulus plan because it lets me know anybody can get in line. God's got a vaccine that everybody has access to. You don't even have to leave home to get God's vaccine, because the vaccine of grace will show up wherever you are. It'll show up in your house. Hallelujah. We're not worshiping in the sanctuary, but thanks be to God, you don't need a sanctuary to have access to the grace of God. God's grace is available right where you are and right this moment. God's stimulus plan. We see the need for redemption. We were stuck in trespasses and sin. We see God's redemptive remedy. God's love, which leads to God's mercy, which fuels God's grace. And then we see in this passage the result of this redemptive plan. Let me add verse 6 and then read verses 8 through 10. I know you don't have 10. But verse 6 says, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Look at that. He raised us up. That's the result of redemption. And then he goes on to say in verse 8, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. And in verse 10, you don't have that. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. What is the result of God's stimulus plan, of God's stimulus work? One result is we've been made alive together with Jesus Christ. He has raised us up. He has raised us back to life and seated us in heavenly places to dwell with Christ. We've been lifted from the bondage and the destruction of sin. This means that we now exist in the world with the attitude, with the beliefs, with the spirit, with the heart and mind that are subject to the authority and power of Jesus Christ. We're living under the lordship of Christ. We're living under the dominion of Christ. We're living in subjection to Christ. We live and operate on a new level because God has given us new life. Oh, I could stop right there. It says that what we were in the past is no longer present because God has made us alive by the power of the Holy Ghost and given us a brand new life. Things I used to do, I don't do no more. The places I used to go, I don't go anymore. I've got a brand new life in Jesus Christ. That's part of the result. Another part of the result of God's redemptive work is no boasting. We cannot claim that our salvation comes through human efforts. Nobody can boast. We don't merit salvation. We don't earn salvation. We are gifted with salvation because of divine grace. God has blessed us to be children of God. Nobody can go around and say, I spent 8 years in school, got my Master of Divinity degree, got my Doctorate of Ministry degree. I got all of the credentials to make me worthy of this salvation. No, your degree didn't do it. Nobody can say, I've had enough experience leading people in the mission department or leading somebody in Sunday school. I've got enough experience behind me in order to merit. No, you cannot boast. Salvation is God's gift to everybody. It's based upon the work and grace of Jesus Christ. But ultimately, the result of this redemptive work is we now know our purpose. We now know why God has us in the world. Why does God bring salvation? so that God can transform us into God's image and send us out to be the presence of God in the world. God has created us for good works. That's our purpose. God has brought us into God's family to be instruments of God in the world. We are here not to follow the dictates of the world, but to do God's will out there in the world. We're not saved so we can go to heaven. We're not saved to sit on the pew until God lowers down the chariot and carries us over to the other side. We're saved so God can use us. So he can take our hands and work with our hands. So he can take our feet and take us where he wants us to go. God wants to work through us. The result is our purpose in the world. I'm almost done. But the other week, William Rogers fell through the ice on a Sunday. William Rogers from New Hampshire has been teaching ice skating his entire life. He's familiar with being on the ice. But that didn't stop him from falling into the Salmon Falls River in Somersworth, New Hampshire, more than a week ago, because the ice he was skating on broke. And he was out there by himself, no one around, ice skating. This ice skating teacher fell through the ice and was in the water for several minutes without being able to get out of the hole. And although he was trying not to panic, he describes the feeling of sinking into the freezing water as terrible. He says, "The first thing I did was try to walrus up onto the ice, knowing that I needed to get out of the water as quickly as possible." But he says every time he tried to push himself or propel himself onto the ice, the ice kept breaking underneath him. And he says no one was around and I couldn't reach my phone and I was in the water and hypothermia started setting in. And he said, "I remember telling myself, okay, don't panic, figure out what your options are." And even though he couldn't reach his phone, he remembered that he was wearing his Apple Watch, and he quickly asked the watch to call 911, which definitely saved his life that day. And he told the people of 911 that he probably only had about 10 minutes left before he was not going to be able to respond anymore. He knew his body was shifting with the hypothermia, but it only took 5 minutes for the firefighters to get there. He said, "I'm really grateful for them. Thank God for those folk." He was out on the ice alone when the ice broke and he fell into the cold water. And all of his attempts to get out were futile. And I tell you, life gets that way sometimes. Thank God. But thank God Rogers had a lifeline. He had his Apple Watch. He was able to call 911 and somebody came to help him. And you know, we know what it's like sometimes to be stuck somewhere all by ourselves with no way to get up. And every effort on our part only makes us go deeper and deeper into the mess. But thank God for a lifeline. Thank God God sends grace to help get us out of our situations and lift us out. The hope of the stimulus plan is that it will help out. The president said help is here. But the president knows that the checks are going to be cashed and the money will run out. The extension of the unemployment benefits will run out. He knows that the reduced medical premiums only constitute a temporary fix. He knows that families will need help. The rent, the mortgage, the bills have to be paid each month. And persons need shelter and food and Medicare every day. It's a temporary fix. But I'm coming to tell you that folk don't just need help today. They also need help tomorrow. We need a stimulus plan that is not temporary. We need a plan that is eternal. And I'm here to recommend somebody who is able to help the hurting, somebody to give you a way out of bondage, a plan that will not run out. Help is here. And it's not just here today. It's here tomorrow. It's here everywhere. Because help is not in a plan, but help is in a person. And that person's name is Jesus. I can tell you about him because one day I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within. I was sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my cry and from the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Let love lift you. Let the love of God be your stimulus today. Let it give you the motivation to reach out to his grace and to follow God by faith. Ebenezer members and online friends, it is our prayer that the message today has been a blessing to you and to your family. We pray that God's Spirit will implant the word deep into your hearts and give you the assurance of God's love and grace. We invite you to follow Christ with us. If you're not a Christian, you can become a Christian today. All you have to do is believe that God has come in Jesus to save us from our sins and that Jesus gave his life on the cross and that God raised Jesus from the dead on the third day. If you believe that, you are a Christian. We welcome you to the family of God and we pray for you daily. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like to hear your story. You can reach out to us on our website at ebc3austin.org. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. You can also subscribe to our YouTube channel and join us each Sunday for worship. You may also reach us at our church office at ebcoffice@sbcglobal.net. Thank you so much for joining us today, and may God's peace be with you until we meet again.